Yeah.
Now we're doing one part of the agenda.
The webcast is off.
It's not off yet.
See, that's what I don't understand. What do you mean a public session day? Yeah, we just voted to adjourn. Now you want to meet anyway. That's not come on. That's just semantics. If we adjourn, we adjourn. If we meet, we meet.
Yeah, and I specifically asked if we were going to work. I wouldn't have voted the way I did if we weren't going to work. So I will find you know.
We're going to
work.
We're
going
to talk.
Yeah, I think the motion needed to be amended.
We can still have a meeting. We just aren't in a public session. I mean,
we can choose to meet if we want to.
We're meeting as a it's a
and we can discuss any matters we want to and report back as a body to this board when the board convenes.
As long as we're not making motions, it's fine.
Well, I move. I move that
we can't move.
This is the motion.
The meeting has been adjourned.
We're adjourned.
No movement.
You're not, you can't say without moving.
No movement.
Dave,
point of information. I'd like to request that the web stream be continued, since I think we are going to be discussing matters of interest and should be on the record. Bob made the point in Los Angeles that some of our strategic planning was more properly done in a public setting. And I think we're going to be, I hope that we're going to be talking about long-term visions, network infrastructure, technology, and other issues like that. So I'd like to request that we continue the web stream and have a public record of our discussions today.
Point of information,
yes.
Mr. Chair? Well, I hate to throw another aspect into this, but as I understand California corporate law, that whenever a body meets and a quorum is present, whether it's privately or in public, that constitutes a meeting.
It's a meeting.
And when a quorum is present, that doesn't that means that as far as the state of California is concerned,
legislative law.
Yeah, and it's in the corporate.
I don't know if that's true with corporate law.
Let me finish this point, okay? So I would like clarification on that issue, because I understand that even if you meet in a bar and there's a quorum, you're holding a meeting. And so, just a question.
We've adjourned the meeting. We're holding a discussion.
Yeah, but reconvening with a quorum.
I understand
present.
What you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
It's like a retreat.
Exactly. Actually, Mr. Chair, this is actually a good point. Because when we had a training, we were all together.
That's
and yet we're not having board activities. So there is a context within which this wouldn't apply.
Yeah.
Can someone just look it up? It's on the internet.
It's on the internet.
Just look it up under California nonprofit code. Or corporate code, sorry, corporation code.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chair, we're not meeting.
Not meeting.
We just happen to be at this table.
No, we're having a retreat.
We're having a retreat.
It's a retreat.
An unnoticed retreat, but I mean, that's okay, because we didn't stream our retreat. But you want to stream this meeting,
no,
Dave
no.
does.
Is someone looking it up?
We should not stream it.
Anybody got a good record?
Yeah, how are we streaming an informal gathering that just happens to include all of us?
Should not stream.
Right, and I would agree that if we're not having an official meeting, then I don't understand why the public would be privy to just some discussions for the next 8 hours.
Well,
I could be talking about a fashion show that I want to do, right? And I'm sure they'd be real interested in that. Well, you might be, but I don't know if the listeners are.
Go ahead.
William, I don't think it's a question of looking up the law. I mean, the law talks about legislative bodies and how they conduct open meetings.
No, corporation code has this in it. I've seen it. I just don't remember. It's in corporate code for California state law. I mean, for how corporations are governed. So if someone looks it up on the internet, it's there. We don't need to discuss it. Just look it up. And then if it says we can't meet, then we can't meet. And if it says it's okay for us to have a meeting, then we can decide whether or not to stream it.
Okay. I wanted to make a statement about that. Aside from the question of streaming, which I think William is making a good point, that we can perhaps check that, just as we had a retreat in January, and there was no legal problem raised about that whatsoever, this can be a de facto retreat right now. Mm-hmm. And we can proceed with discussions, just not make actual decisions, mm-hmm. but discussions, the whole day. And I don't see any problem with that. So the separate question of whether to start the stream, we should look up. But I think we can start.
No, not stream. Yes, Dave.
According to Roberts, page 79, A meeting is a single official gathering of its members in one room or area to transact business. In retreat, we're not transacting business, so I would argue this isn't a meeting, and it's perfectly acceptable under all the various rules that govern us. I think we're in retreat now, and I think the question of whether or not it's streamed is up to the, you know, will of the body. It can, or it doesn't need to be, but it also, there's no prohibition against it. But we should continue in retreat.
We're not in retreat. We didn't come here today, this morning, to retreat. All right. I mean, we can, you know, put another name on it, but to me, the discussions about the goals, we already did that. Now we're talking about how to assign them, how to implement them. That's business.
It's not business until there's a motion.
Well, all right, it's business without a motion, but it's not like what we did before. We're agendizing priorities, and to me that's conducting business as opposed to just saying what do people want to do like we did last time. You know what I mean? It's a little bit further down the road. So that's my only concern about what to call it, because what do we do with what we decide? Maybe the committee of the whole is the way to go.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there a 7-day notice requirement for posting of the agenda? Is that in our bylaws? Okay.
State law.
Yes.
It's in our bylaws, right?
It's whether it's in our bylaws or not. It's
California
corporate
law.
Code.
Point of order.
California law.
Point of order. I don't believe that the notice requirement is for the agenda per se. It's for the meeting, for the existence of a meeting. But the specific items on the agenda, that does not have to be noticed in advance.
It's for the time of the meeting.
Right, the time and the place, but not the items on the agenda. So that can be changed at the drop of a hat when you're in person. And it always has been at each meeting.
And William, when was the meeting noticed for 10 o'clock in the morning?
It was 3 days ago. Whatever, I think it was Friday. Wait, what's today? I'm sorry. It was sometime this week because I wasn't in the Bay Area when it happened. I was already here. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday.
Well, we need a ruling, Mr. Chair, and I guess how we or vote or something.
I don't see anything that keeps us from meeting and talking about items.
All right. Streamed?
No streaming.
Amber?
Yes.
Okay, but it's public, so if people in the listening areas could be here, then they could sit in the audience and hear it. So it seems to me it should be streamed because then everybody could hear it.
But they would be here at an official meeting. We have adjourned that meeting.
Are you appealing the ruling of the chair?
Yes.
Can you do that without an official
meeting? Don't have
any.
Well, we could kick his ass. I
don't know. Well, we really don't want that strange.
Remember, Wendy, we are not meeting. You can't move.
I'm going to go.
We're gathering.
All right.
Can we continue then? Or start gathering? Or so whatever.
We can all go gather on the piano and start playing some tunes.
Yeah,
let's do some business.
I'll sing for you.
Let's
right.
do it, what Mike suggested. Let's get to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't come up here right. for foolishness. Thank you.
I second. Oh, well, that's not a motion.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, as you may remember, y'all, in this in gathering, that when we met in what was it, Los Angeles, we spent a number of day and a half or so talking about strategic goals and plans that we wanted to see. And if the question was, how would we like Pacifica to look in the next 3 years? And the thing I liked about the meeting is we brought together a lot of different elements. We were there. General managers were there, national staff were there, the executive director was there, the CFO was there, LSB chairs were there from all five stations. And so we gathered together and we came up with ultimately this list here. And since that meeting, we have not really looked at the list again of the goals that we all agreed upon through consensus and other exercises to determine how we wanted to move them forward in this year, in this particular year, and so they've kind of been sitting. So I'm hoping, and I've looked at it myself and have an idea, well, maybe we could use these as elements to charge other committees, because we have these committees that are now meeting for the most part, and we're allowing those committees to sort of determine what their charge will be based on what all the members want to do and all 15. And I was hoping that maybe we could look at these 8 items and say, well, maybe this committee, we could say, you know, such and such committee or technology committee can, you know, what would it take to make to begin the process of investigating Pacifica Everywhere as a reality? Can that be one of your primary charges and not just sort of an ancillary investigation, so we can move these goals forward and begin to have plans for how to implement them? So I'm hoping that's what we can do today, is look at these objectives and figure out which committee would best be the one to push them to fruition.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't want to be a stickler on this point about streaming, but I would like us to see, although we can't take any votes, if we can reach some sort of consensus about this. I think Wendy's point is well taken, and Otis McClay made a similar point just now talking to us, that it's not really consistent that if people happen to have either the access to this meeting because they live in New York City or because they could afford to come here, that they are privy to what we're saying, but people in a web stream, people who could tune into a web stream all over the country, just arbitrarily are cut out from it. It's not a meeting. There's nothing confidential here. I don't see a problem with web streaming, and I think it would be true to the spirit of transparency that Pacifica is striving for right now. So I'm wondering if we can just have an informal consensus to go ahead with the web stream and then proceed with what Mark.
It's not an official meeting.
No, I understand that, but I'm asking if we could make a special accommodation to the fact that there's something going on that's of broad interest, and it's a discretionary matter on the part of the executive director. He can direct that the web stream happen or not. It doesn't have to come from a board motion or resolution.
You're putting that on my shoulder.
Yes, Wendy.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that we demanded that our web streamers be here, and I know it wasn't on purpose. You know, we didn't. I just think that we should just go ahead with it.
Dave?
Yeah, I agree with Bob and with Wendy, but what I wanted to say was I wanted to suggest that we spend 40 minutes on each of these 8 items in discussion about them, and then that would leave enough time both for lunch and for the committees that are able to meet between now and 6 o'clock. So that would be my proposal, and I would also like to echo that I think it should be streamed, and I would like to see it streamed.
Well, this isn't a meeting, but a question then. I want to know, whatever we're doing, is someone going to take minutes? You know, that's the first thing. And okay,
no.
I'm sorry,
no.
Notes?
Yes.
And the second thing is, who's prepared to present these goals and objectives? Is this,
well, we are.
We're just assuming we're going, did you bring your notes from last time? I mean,
I got them right here.
Okay, well, then you're the presenter.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, welcome back. I'm glad you're here, Ambrose. The objectives, you know, this is very good, but I think there's a couple of the items that were part of the goals and objectives from the board training, and one of those was basically on board behavior, and I think that was one of the more important points, is that the board is not to revisit motions that have been passed. And that if they're passed and you were not part of the majority, that you should accept those motions, work to make them successful, and move on. So I think that's a very important part of the goals and objectives that came out of the outreach, out of the board training.
Absolutely.
But that wasn't one of the 8. It wasn't. We had like the 8 bullets. That wasn't one of them. It wasn't that specific, you know.
But I think that was like one of the last points that was very important.
William?
I'd like to not be responsible for taking notes, period. So I'm just putting that out there. And as soon as the meeting convenes, we should elect a new secretary. Mm-hmm. So meaning someone needs to take notes for this session.
Well, can anyone oppose to web streaming just sort of shake violently? And I mean, we can't vote, but maybe it's some, you know. No one's shaking.
Strange.
I am. It's just very subtle.
Yeah.
The other way we could do it is to break into subgroups and have more time for each item in each subgroup. But I like the idea of doing it in a whole so we all get more on the same page. In the year and a half I've been on this board, we've never actually had the kind of free-ranging discussion that as a whole about what it is we're trying to do. So we get caught, we get impaled on these differences and we find ourselves divided on certain points. But generally speaking, when we talk about positive vision, the votes run 17-3 and things like that. So, you know, I'll talk about my own issues. I've raised it. I know it's upsetting to some, this issue of central services and the fact that now we've paid down the debt, that money's available. I'd like to see, as I've said before, us have a pot of money in a request for proposals format so anyone in the network who has a good idea can apply for access to funds, and that might be something we could deal with. The issue of the HD radio and our moving to digital technology is something that we should very much discuss. It's a complex issue, and there's a question of what's the board's involvement in policy decisions like that. Questions about, you know, one of the big things I think we need to deal with is what is the board's involvement in certain kinds of strategic developments, technology issues, and network infrastructure issues, like the way in which things happen. So I think those would each be things that fall under this, and I'd like to suggest that under these categories, as you and I discussed, these things do come up, and I'd like to see us just start and spend 40 minutes on each of these, go 1-8. It was on your tentative agenda, so presumably at least some people were aware that these were going to be put forth. Why don't we do it?
Why don't you kick it off?
Well, is the mission-driven outreach and audience expansion. To me, you know, one of the things that happened in the Healthy Station Project era and the strategic 5-year plan was a shift to audience as the key thing that we were after. And to me, one of the things that's crucial about Pacifica is that it provides a platform to people who have something to say to reach audience. So that's the other half of it. How do we support programmers? And to me, that's the key part of the outreach, which is here we are in your community, wherever your community is, providing a platform for you to reach audience. We've got a lot of new technologies that are coming that are capable of allowing people to reach audience in a way that's not competitive. In other words, it's not the 168-hour week. I think that we should be agreeing to do things like KPFK is doing, by the way. KPFK is putting in 11 editing bays for volunteers. We're providing a support system for volunteer programmers. We're investing in making volunteer programmers more able to produce more programming. I question whether we can ever raise the amount of money necessary to do Democracy Now! Style production for more than a couple of hours a day. So while maybe that's part of our strategy, I think another part of the strategy is investing in all the different people and all the different voices in the various signal areas and let them find audience. I think if we can spur production of, say, 500 or 1,000 hours a week of programming instead of 168, we can cherry pick the best 168 of that, and our air will get better, and we can also serve a wider swath of the community if we're building mechanisms to get that programming to the audiences with specific interest in it. So in terms of the mission-driven outreach and audience expansion, I think that's driven by the more present we are in our communities. And maybe Eva can talk about it, because I think one reason KPFK is doing well is the station's really out in the community quite a lot. We've got facilities that are being developed around town where people are producing. We've got open slots for serials so that when people produce, they have a place in the schedule, they can get put on and they can get aired. There's a certain excitement. I'll stop talking because I've talked a while, but these are things I'd like to see as part of the mission-driven outreach project. And I would like to hear what Eva has to say about what they're doing at KPFK and the other managers, too.
Yes.
Well, one of the things, if you recall, about the process that we went through in L.A. is that we came up with these sort of 8 objectives, and we put them in little piles and decided to link things that were combined. And then we met separately, and we asked people, what would that look like? That's not included here. And that was more specific, where
people came up with different ideas based on whatever group they were in to decide, for example, what mission-driven outreach and audience expansion looks like. And one of the things I think that led to this objective were a couple of concerns that we need to think about. One is we keep being told about, you know, the aging of our, you know, population. Everyone is like, what is it, 51, poor things, and 52, and, you know, so we can't have that. Can you tell I'm nearing that? So, you know, we got to do something to bring young people and younger people in. Yeah, younger people in, and we talked about that. And also mission-driven outreach. And I think one of the things about, if you mentioned KPFK, that I did admire when I was there is their outreach into other diverse communities, especially their Spanish language programming. And so the concern, that part of that is if our mission is to foster creative understanding and conflict resolution and spread the word near and far, there is a concern that we have kind of fed on a solid group, you know, the whole time. We're in the same pond. And we've been feeding off those guppies for a while, you know, God bless them, but that maybe there's some other ponds out there that we need to be reaching out into to begin to both revitalize our listener revenue stream, which is flat. Our expansion has become somewhat flat. And so when I look at audience expansion, I think about younger people, especially those with your credit cards, but I'm also thinking about other, you know, diverse communities and how we can look at how we reach out to people. What is the plan? I don't know what our outreach plan is. I have this thick thing that they give me all the time, listener behavior. I'm not so exactly clear about our behavior. What are we doing to reach out to communities that we're not reaching now, who could be sources of both revenue and creativity and strength for us as a network moving forward? And that's what I see it as.
Can I just address that? A couple of things. One of the things that, and I know that this is not, it wasn't placed on the agenda, but I do need to say that if we're talking about outreach, and that would also include development, that is one of the committees, which it's supposed to be a task force at this particular time, that has not been included on our agenda for 6 o'clock. And I'm real concerned about the fact that if we are trying to reach different communities, different audiences, young people, old people, physically challenged, all of that, the areas of finance, audit, programming, archives, governance, and all of that do not include outreach in that way. And I think that we need to seriously look at that, because development, for instance, is what brings your money in, your revenue. And you have none of these other committees if you don't have some money. You don't need a finance committee if you don't have any money. And the money comes from pledge drives and fundraising. So that's one thing I think we need to be concerned about. Another thing that WPFW, which I feel proud that Ron did take the step to include a stream of hip-hop at this point now. I was against it as a listener and being on the board, but I was invited to be one of the guests last Friday on one of the hip-hop shows, and it was sort of like old school meets new school, and I had a wonderful chance to converse with the young people who are a part of that program, and we had callers, young people who called in, who wanted to know, you know, how they can help and what we can do. So two of the things that I left the program with, because they have this piece that they want guests, whoever they may be, to leave with something or leave the audience with something. And I said volunteerism, something that it seems a lot of us have lost sight of. We are volunteers. We're volunteers on the local board and the national board. But a lot of young people and a lot of people that are our peers don't quite get volunteerism anymore or don't get it at all. So in terms of outreach, I think that's one of those words and one of those things we need to really be looking at, that we include that you understand the concept of volunteering and that you're getting paid has to do with long-range rewards and benefits and not necessarily the Benjamins.
Could I say something here out in the audience? Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, in fact, I was going to talk about
you.
What are the rules here?
Well, let's talk about it for 3 hours. So, well, I just wanted to weigh in on this topic because it's one that we're wrestling with at KGNU as we go into the expanded audience in Metro Denver, which increases our potential audience by about 2 million people. And many of them have never heard of us. They've never heard of community radio. They've never heard of Pacifica. And, for example, our development director was down there during the protest march and handing out our new outreach material, which we created a little fold-up, you know, a little pocket guide to KGNU, which I have. I'll bring some in. And she found that more than half of the people she spoke to at the protest had never heard of us. So that was a tremendous outreach potential for us. We do have a space down there, and I'd like to hear more about what KPFK is doing in the huge LA area. We've just started now, we're buying some signs that you can just put on top of your car that look like a taxi. You know, you buy, it's like $170 or something. And so some of our volunteers are going to be driving all over Denver with this taxi-like sign that says KGNU. And we're doing lawn signs, you know, like political signs you put on your yard. So not a good place for New York. I don't know how you'd be using those. But anyway, we're trying to find these really cost-effective ways to do outreach with people and minimal cost, and I think we have to think that way. I mean, people say, why don't you buy a billboard? Well, you know, very expensive, and they have a short life, and that's it. So we have to think of some creative ways to do this kind of outreach.
You know, you're quite an asset that we have not used. Your station bought, or in the process of, the deal gone through yet?
Well, yeah, the deal went through.
Okay.
The purchase price was $4 million,
mm-hmm.
and now we have $3 million left to pay on it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So you can tell us something about the operation of a radio station. You know, on this board a whole year last year, and never did this board deal with the business of radio. The business of radio. You know, we had a lot of stations that were available for acquisition. We didn't deal with it. We dealt with all our petty emotional issues rather than the business of radio. And I see our role as I see the role of every board member of a nonprofit, to enhance the value of that corporation while you're in the seat. And you have to know something about the business in order to do it. We ought to be hearing from people who have had that experience. For example, 3 years ago, I suggested, before I got on the board, I suggested that we ought to invite Kathy Hughes as a board member. Kathy Hughes started with a little old station in Washington, D.C., almost no signal at all. She and her son now own 600 stations across. It's called Radio One. To me, that's an asset that we ought to be inviting to talk to us about how we develop as a radio network. We now own 5 stations. Last acquisition was 1977. I mean, what is our vision for Pacifica Foundation? Pacifica Foundation is more than those 5 stations. If you read the Article of Incorporation, most of those issues we never even dealt with as a foundation. So we ought to look at those rather serious questions in what we do as a board of directors. We have a responsibility to do that. And I hope we'll bring in some experts to teach us so that we can more effectively operate this as a business that it is. Dave?
Actually, there were other members who haven't spoken yet. I'm sorry.
You start.
But then I would like to speak.
Okay.
You're behind me.
Well,
ahead of Robert.
I certainly understand what Ambrose is laying out as kind of a visionary goal to expand the number of stations that Pacifica owns, but I think we have to be realistic about the period we're in right now. At the last meeting, there was some presentation by the chief financial officer about the need for several of our stations to have a capital campaign, either to buy a station where they don't own it, or to do major capital expansion of the facilities, or to make them compliant with the Americans for Disability Act or various other things. And those are extremely costly ventures, and we're finding at WBAI and across the network that all of our operating costs are going up constantly. And, of course, labor costs are going up as they need to so that workers get decent wages. So we have these very difficult financial realities that make it really hard to look into kind of buying an entire new station. And it's a very different model to buy a station as a commercial venture than for a nonprofit. So that's my concern about going too far in that direction when we haven't even secured the five stations that we have and their physical plan. But I originally actually wanted to talk more about this question of methods of outreach, and there's two that that have been done to some extent at different stations, but I think we should look at more. One is Zarina mentioned the web stream, which I hadn't heard about at WPFW for hip-hop, and that's a great idea, and I think all of our stations should look into to the extent we can afford it, given the needs to expand the server capacity and so on, but to be able to have multiple streams that would not only allow for more diversity in every sense of that word, but kind of break this stranglehold of the 168-hour week of radio time that's available and this intense competition for airtime, some of which is very legitimate demands that communities and cultural expressions and lots of different parts of the life of our communities that would like to be on the air can't be because there's a finite limit. But on the Internet, there is no limit except the cost of expanding the space on the web stream to have more voices. So I think that's a great way that you could bring in, especially with young people, you could start folks on the web stream for a certain period, 6 months, 12 months, and that could be like a trial period and a training period. And then those that are the best quality could then move on to the radio air. So that's one idea. The other idea is, and this one has been used a lot at WBAI, and I'm sure at other stations, but I'm not as knowledgeable about that, is broadcasting live community events and building relationships with institutions that include, we have at least one I'm aware of, where we have built in an ISDN line into the institution. Riverside Church, which everyone probably has heard of nationally, is a renowned peace and justice supporting institution. And at this point, I think it's probably 3-4 times a year, we have a live event, 3 or 4 hours on the air, live from the church, and a lot of different community voices are there. And that not only builds a relationship with that church and their constituency, but brings in people that may otherwise have not had any direct contact, or certainly, even if they've heard about BAI, they're not as invested as when we're actually broadcasting their event. And I think that can be replicated throughout each of our signal areas on the whole range of institutions, not just religious institutions, but unions, community organizations, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community centers. I mean, we can all construct our lists of the places it would be great to install those lines and make a commitment to periodically go live to the community.
Right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of great ideas. One area I'm interested in, really, is what happens off the air. Clearly, I think one of the main ways to do outreach is programming. using my own experience in the Asian community, and some of you in New York probably heard about this already, so I apologize for that. But some of the most extraordinary things achieved, such as Haitians being considered aid carriers because they were Haitian, resulted in 100,000 Haitians closing Manhattan, period, without using any of them in media. And so the way it was done, it was a lot of hard work, but it was attending practically every important community meeting in the community, meaning that we identify those spots, we contact the leaders and so on, and we go there with them. We identify the issues, we see what we have in common. We take part in their programs when they have something on Saturdays, no matter what the issue is about the community. And we also get on their own media. So the BI would be, let's say, on a Haitian radio, but not on WBI radio. So we'll be on the air, we'll be on television, and make the connection. As for example, I can tell you in terms of continue the same example, that although the Haitian community has a huge amount of radio, they're mostly business, church connected. Pacific WBI is really the only medium, electronic medium, that is progressive in the Haitian community, that is a link with other communities, that is vital to that community survival. So if we take each community like that and we identify with the leaders, the newspaper, the Latino community, and many others that we have here, I think that, I agree with Serena that we have to consider the connection with the financial, you know, how do we fund that? So the point I'm trying to make is that outside of the what's happening on the air, sort of programming, there's a huge section for us to, for example, I remember participating in a major demonstration in Manhattan against the war and meeting a great group of younger people, college age, and they tell me I'm passing those little WBI cards and they don't know about BAI. And they don't know people who just stumble and they heard about the peace demonstration, they showed up. They active on SLAM, which is a student group. I couldn't believe it. I repeated the fact that you don't know about BAI. Well, the answer was no. So therefore, we need SLAM, we need the student organizations, we need them to make room for us to come to the meeting and obviously have programming related to young people and so on.
Let's go quickly. I would just like to ask, since we have no one taking notes, like the people who are making points, maybe they can just write on a little sheet of paper the points that they've made in terms of what they're doing at their station, and maybe we can gather that together so it won't be lost.
Mm. Or maybe someone would volunteer to take some skeletal notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the stream on?
It is on. Okay, just a couple things to, hi Dave, about that. One is I was thinking of Ailes, you know, because he's a great manipulator. And what would he do? I ask myself sometimes, because he was effective. And one of the things I think, particularly for some of our younger board members, perhaps we could get them to, you know, do some kind of, you know, broad demonstration that would attract national media. That's certainly one way to up awareness, is to find an issue.
He just wants to get us arrested.
No, I'm just saying that for those who have, you know, less to, you know, lose, like William, I'm presuming, we could sacrifice him and to an issue, get him on the news, and that would boost audience right away.
Julie's doing this weekend.
Julie's
one
doing that this
she's
weekend.
She's not here.
Okay.
She's doing civil disobedience.
Right, but see, we need her in a Pacifica gown while doing it. And so that is something to consider. Well, not a gown. I'm sorry. Yeah. Is this being whipped?
Yes, it is.
All right, no.
Watch out.
Not a gown, an outfit. Okay.
A
T-shirt. Okay. The other thing is that because we have eight of these things to go, one of the things I was thinking was how can we move it, right? That was the whole point. So I agree with what Zarina said. The Development Outreach Task Force is operating, and one of the things we need to do is elevate its work. And one of the things we could do is charge it with as the lead investigator for moving this item forward, since it does involve, and I remember at the meeting we talked about building relationships with other community groups, not just exchanging lists for fundraising purposes, but also getting to know them, et cetera. So maybe that committee, bolstered by the experiences of Marty and maybe Phil at the national level, could be the committee that could begin on behalf of the board to investigate how we could improve our mission-driven outreach and audience expansion goals. So that would be one way. We can't move, But rather than just go on about it, because we all agree these things are good things, that might be one way we could say, okay, let's, when we meet, when we convene, let's charge the development task force with item number one and have it report back to us by June with the progress that it has made to begin to move this into a three-year type plan scenario with some real, you know, aspect of it and use their expertise. I would recommend that we do that when we, you know, when we can have recommendations. And once again, that was outfit. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the thoughts that we might consider is how to structure the operation of our boards at the local level to encourage better outreach into the community. So it's a structural question of how we operate our boards. One idea that I would throw out there is what we're in the infant stages of implementing at KPFT, and that is after we created our community advisory board last year, we added to that community advisory board a section called advisory trustees. And we can have as many advisory trustees as we want, and the community advisory board is kind of charged with going out and getting them. And what advisory trustees are representatives from various groups across the town who have who are essentially stakeholders in our radio station, a representative from various minority groups, a representative from various labor organizations, representatives from various cultural and religiously affiliated organizations that have activist interests in the area of civil rights and so forth. And so what we hope to do this year is create, and I did this through when I was chair of another nonprofit. We created 140 advisory trustee positions, which were essentially 140 representatives on our board that we sought to for advice that were bridges into other organizations. And by creating those bridges into other organizations, we expanded a network well beyond what any billboard could do. And we brought those people under our umbrella. We also got their input on programming, and we could begin to build programming in that way. We didn't do it in this other nonprofit. This other nonprofit I was chair of was an environmental organization, and we used those organizations as outreach to get input on how to develop and take positions on environmental policy. It was extremely effective, and it might be a structural component that we might want to consider for all of our LSBs to create these advisory trustees to build these bridges. And I'm not suggesting that a member of, say, the AFL-CIO have to permanently come to every meeting, but that they at least come to an annual meeting, and that there be some constantly ability to communicate, and we make them a part of our family. And that when we make them a part of our family, their organization becomes a part of our family. And that's how to grow structurally.
Is there someone in the audience that would like to share some information with us?
My name's Ursula. I'm affiliates coordinator, and I just kind of want to make a friendly observation as a baby boomer, kind of speaking to other baby boomers. And since we are on the topic of outreach, I know that one of the issues is how to reach it to young people. And I just kind of want to make the friendly observation that, just now a comment was made about the one person who is on this board who's young and was referred to as having having less to lose than the rest. And nobody even kind of noticed or flinched or objected. So I'm just kind of in a friendly way I don't want to speak for William. But I do want to say, a lot of our clientele is young in the affiliate world, and I work with a lot of young people, and I'm a baby boomer too, so I say things like that too, and I just kind of want to, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Jane, are you coming up to say something?
I agree with what was just said, and in response to Mark, I'd be glad to accommodate you, since the elevator to this facility is not in operation, and therefore I get to go with the garbage. And I'm not complaining, but I have a legal issue if you choose to have me pursue it. Since you were suggesting that an arrest might be a good idea and we're going to sacrifice William, I'm volunteering.
May I?
Dave?
Live 365 is one of the five biggest internet broadcasters, and they don't actually produce programming. What they do is they provide access to programmers. So like Serena was talking about that stream that Ron set up, on Live 365, those same people could sign up, and I think there's a free service, but for $5 a month or something, they can have up to 50 listeners, or maybe it's a dozen. I don't know what the number is. But the point is that in terms of outreach, what the young people tend to do is they get, like a Fidel, Divine Forces, they get these little cards, like the way you do advertise raves, and they distribute it in their own communities. And what if we were providing a platform for people, and anybody who gets on the air usually has a posse around them, they have people around them, and we give them tools to promote their what they're doing in their own community. So if every station had, for example, flyer blanks or some deal set up so we print those cards, or, you know, we don't pay anybody, but maybe we have a certain budget allocation for anybody who wants to come in and do that. I want to pass these around. I don't have enough for everybody because some of them are going to the organization that sponsored this event. But we do CDs. You can make these things for... I mean, if you're doing them in volume, you can do them for less than 50 cents. What better way to advertise our programming than to give somebody some of the best examples of it? So I would like to see us have some dedicated fund. First of all, to be orienting ourselves to what I think Bob talked about, Zarina talked about, others, which is, come on in. You're not like, no, you have to stay out. Come on in. We have ways. We don't have the space in our own facilities, so we partner with other facilities to have the space. Come on and get people up in broadcasting. The technology is not 2 years away anymore. Podcasting is a turnkey thing right now. You can get a podcast going anywhere. Now, iPods are high-end, and iTunes is their interface. But these things, I've said it before, within a year or two, they're going to be as common as the $20 CD players are today. And all those kids are going to have them. So when that starts to happen, how are we going to fill all, like Bob mentioned, 168-hour week? Well, bandwidth limitation is essentially a thing of the past. How are we going to fill all that space? And you can have a radio station in Ohio. You can have a radio station anywhere you want with this technology if we're producing enough content that's of interest. So I think we should be thinking about, one, how do we support programmers to produce, and how do we provide them with the tools they need to advertise what they're doing in their own community? And I would like to see them deal with that. In terms of what Mike said about the trustees, once we have projects like that, we can go out and do specific fundraising. Like, I would be happy to go to a high donor, and I think any of those trustees would too, and say, hey, we would like to get some money so that all the kids or all the people we're bringing in on this front can all produce some CDs of their work and distribute it in their community to advertise it. And targeted projects like that are really easy to raise money for. They're much easier than it is to raise money for general operations, because people see impact, and every time you meet with those donors, you hand them a CD and say, this is what we want to get out there. Will you help us?
I want to figure out how we make this discussion more accessible to our listeners, and I don't mean just by providing a webcast, and I don't mean by making it just a noticed meeting, but it seems that our listenership wants to be a part of these discussions and help us shape what this really looks like. Me sitting here, though, my fear is that our listenership isn't necessarily reflective of the world that we need to create, and I know that that might sound slighted, but a lot of our listenership, like we've said, is older, and like the biggest debate at KPFA right now is what time Democracy Now! Should play, and to the average 21-year-old or 25-year-old or even a 30-year-old, I mean, they could care less what time Democracy Now! Plays. And that's what we spend our local station board meetings talking about, and that's why we aren't able to reach that larger audience. That, because we're not talking about how we could be doing things at the board level that could help support outreach. And I think that one thing that we need to discuss is just our how we function as radio stations. And I know that when I started at the station, there were kind of two ways to get in. It was either the apprenticeship program or the news training program. Those are the two ways to get in the station if you're not in a salary position. And the other way is to already have an established set of radio skills and to then acquire a show and then, you know, bequeath it to someone when you die. But I think that what I've tried to do, at least at the station, in my capacity, and I've only been there as a paid staff person for 2 years, is to set up internships. And I know that this is the first time I've ever been away from the station. I've been away for a week, and that's for this. And I'll be gone for 3 more weeks because of NFCB, and I'm going to try to take a vacation. Or I guess I will. And, I mean, the way that I was able to do that is there's 4 people who've taken, like, all of the responsibilities that I do on a day-to-day basis, and they're all doing it. And those are 4 people that are now volunteers at the station. And I know that we find ways to open up volunteer opportunities to folks who can come in and answer the phones, but I think that we should be really looking at ways, especially people who are paid on staff, to find out how to incorporate folks doing things on a day-to-day basis and getting the training. Like, one of the people who's interning is here from Japan for 3 months, and he wants to go back to Japan to do radio, and he's learning about community radio in Japan and learned that there's only 2 stations there, and who knows whether he'll do corporate radio or non-commercial radio, but he's getting skills, and it's something that he hadn't done before, and he's very interested now. And I just think that we need to be looking at ways that we can pull more people in, because if we pull in volunteers and give them the skills that we need, then we're not talking about expanding budgets to do outreach programs. We're just talking about people who are at work every day. Like, I have to do my job every day anyway, so it takes maybe, you know, 10% more time to train someone to do it, and then you're able to branch out and do other things and make the program better. And I don't think that we have that trust in a lot of our folks who are at the stations, and we need to look at how we can build it.
Yes, Rob.
Mr. Chairman, we can discuss this endlessly, and there's a lot of things that it would be nice if we could do, but we actually are a foundation that has a very clear mission. And a great part of that hangs on the fact that we're also now a network of community-based radio. We think that we have a mission and a responsibility to the communities that we live in. We are an organization that has an overarching educational function. We're here to harness the creative energies of the communities that we live in. We have a mission to peace and social justice. And we have a mission to bring news and information before our communities with voices that don't typically get heard and about issues that are not going to be heard. Now, we're in a country which thinks it's under terrorist threat. Okay? And the terrorist threat, for everybody that's awake, that's not actually slipping into a coma, the threat is that our political process is controlled by corporations. Both parties are controlled by corporations. Our environment is under threat from corporations. Everything, every aspect of what's going on. Congress is getting ready to pass a bunch of predatory lending practices that are going to make W.C. Fields, you know, look like a Christian tract publisher. This country is changing, and we're getting into wars for reasons that we're not even honest about. We're looking for weapons of mass destruction. We're looking for regime change. Now we're spreading democracy and freedom throughout the world. Yeah. Okay? So we have a mission, and to say, while we have that mission, that what we should be involved in is a grassroots movement for media democracy, while the basic freedoms of the country are at threat, while our communities are at threat, you know, the tax cuts coupled with the unbudgeted overspending for the war is going to have a devastating impact on our communities. We have a mission and a responsibility, and I don't think we can be satisfied to just say, well, we have a million people that listen to us every week. That's not so bad. We can get together and talk about these things, and maybe we can do a few things here and there. But the reality is we're a network of community-based radio stations, and we're not just listeners that got together this weekend in New York. We're the directors of the foundation, okay? And we can't agree on what we do to support the financial health of the network. We can't agree on what to do to support the growth of our audience. We can't agree on how we can do a better job of programming, whether it's at the grassroots level or at the national level or at the community and the station level. We don't have a clear program to develop our programming with our affiliate stations. You know, we have an affiliate coordinator, but we don't have many resources allocated in that direction. What we can do when we get together is we can argue. You know, we can argue about what's going on at the local level. Last year, we prosecuted a vendetta against the executive director. You know, we couldn't agree to do an asset inventory. Isn't that right, Lonnie? Okay, so we have this mission, and we're the directors, and we're in a country that really is under terrorist threat, but it's an internal one. And people are not getting the truth. If you go to any of the meetings that we have at our stations where Amy Goodman shows up and talks about her single program, the single flagship program we have, there are rafts of people that come from all walks of life. They're very diverse. Their ages are diverse. We're not doing enough to fulfill our mission. And we're not taking seriously our responsibilities about the financial health, about our educational mission, about how do we extend community radio, about how do we work more effectively with the affiliates, about what specifically are we going to do with technology. What we do, meeting after meeting, year after year, is we argue and we quibble and we stop ourselves from making any fundamental decisions. So we can delay this meeting, and we can keep arguing about what's going on at WBAI, and wouldn't it be nice if the world was different? But it's not. We're sliding into a fascist state, and this is the only network of community radio stations in the country. And if we don't reach more people, they're going to fall under that yoke. I don't feel comfortable sitting by and arguing with each other. We're not the enemy. 3 years ago when we were doing the bylaws, Dick Gregory stood up over and over in L.A. and said, please don't keep fighting with each other. You're not the problem. You're not the enemy. The enemy is the guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Do something about him. But we won't. And it's some form of dissociative behavior, Mr. Chairman. I really think the issues that you talked about the business, about the programming, about how we get organized and act like a board, about our financial health, about fulfilling our mission, are critical. I don't think we can sit by and watch more generations be wiped out because nobody would tell them the truth.
Yeah, I agree with Rob. My name is Michael Tariq Warren. I've been to a lot of meetings on the local level. This is the first opportunity, as you know, that I've had a chance to attend the national board meeting. But the problem that I see is echoed, certainly, by Rob's statements. I mean, we can't agree on the local board on whether a pen should be in a box, a matchbox, or outside of matchbox. I mean, something as fundamental as that. There's never been a real consensus on any of the less relevant issues, much less the more important issues. And I think that one of the ways that we have of reaching people, given the times that we are presently living in, is to teach people, and especially young people, but even older people, you know, people who have been programmed by state-controlled and corporate-controlled media, which I think brings upon us a greater responsibility of educating people. And I think that's part of the technique, that's part of the tactic, that's part of the strategy, is to implement the type of level of communication that educates people and to create a diversified structure or level of communication so that as many people as possible are reached. And I think that if that structure is implemented, If those tactics are implemented, then inherently we create the type of programmatic thrust that reaches people and bring them into the to the Pacifica umbrella. I don't think that we reach people by simply trying to use mainstream tactics of reaching people. If you go into a camp, irregardless of how large that camp is, irregardless of the ideological perspective of that camp, you've got to be able to communicate and communicate what your program is about in a way that those people ultimately are educated through that process. And I don't see it happening because I don't see us developing the level of consensus on the basis of a couple of conference calls that I have listened to, not actually participated in, but listened to, and on the basis of the interaction that I've engaged in on the local station board right here in New York City. And I think that that becomes, I think, as we say in the law, the threshold issue, the threshold task. And once we are able to bring into being that threshold task and accomplish those threshold objectives, and it's just a matter of organizing people to go out in a programmatic thrust and educate people about who we are. And if we educate people about who we are, then the issues that Rob talked about will be inherently a part of that programmatic thrust, and people, hopefully, will come into the Pacifica network and be a part of this great movement.